All right, well, good evening. Would everybody take a deep breath for just a moment? Let it out. Big relief here. This week ends hurricane season. So I know you guys have been stressed about that. People who got the cheap deals on the cruises in the off season or went to the beach in October. You may not think about that because we don't have too much oceanfront property here in Arkansas. But I guarantee you that if you live in Florida or anywhere in the Caribbean, you know when the heightened hurricane season is, because if you live anywhere near the coast, it's not if there's a storm coming your way, maybe one day or randomly, it's when and how intense is it and are you prepared? And so I've been reading about, I wanted to show you a house here real quick. Check out this house. This makes me want to go to the beach right now. It's a Sand Palace in Mexico Beach, Florida. And so let me just tell you a little bit about this. After 1992 and Hurricane Andrew, all buildings and houses, they're supposed to be built for 120-mile-an-hour wind gusts. That's just how they're supposed to be built. This one, the Sand Palace, was built to withstand 240-mile-an-hour winds. And so it doesn't really look any other homes except that it's fabulous, right? Very beautiful. But there's a whole lot of things structure-wise and with the foundation that make it much more secure. So the walls are made and poured concrete with on top of 40-foot pilings. Rebar is all the way through the walls, from the foundation through the walls, through the roof, and all the way on the other side, and then plastered in concrete. So they built, so this house, right, in Sand Palace, it has rebar in there. They wanted a balcony on both sides, and the engineer said, "Do you want a hurricane-proof house?" And they said, okay, so they scratched off the balcony on the back. Then they wanted more of an overhang on the roof. And they said, the engineer said, "Do you want a hurricane-proof house?" And he's like, okay, so there wasn't much overhang. So for some of you builders in there, you'll get into this. But what I wanted to show you is it would look like any other house, maybe a little bit more beautiful. They spent about 15 to 20% more just to fortify it and to secure the foundation. But what I want you to see is right here, this is actually after the storm Hurricane Michael last year. Category 5, direct hit, 160 mile an hour constant winds hit that. And so we have one view. If you go online, we didn't have permission to show many of the pictures, but if you go around, there's one house right behind it, and then everything else is just foundations, and it's completely flat. But these people prepared for a storm. They had a solid foundation, and where an entire city, an entire state was pretty much leveled, this one stood firm. Jesus, as he finishes the Sermon on the Mount, he says that storms are no respecters of persons. Doesn't matter how you live your life, storms are coming, but he talks about how to build a solid foundation when we would build our life on him. So what I want us to do is to talk about what we already read, what it looks like to either build your house on the rock or to build your house on the sand. I want to read one more time again. It was already read. I just want us to hear it again and again because it's very simple. But has implications for all of our lives, whether you are a Christ follower or you are just inquisitive. Here's what Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, the end of Jesus' sermon, it says this: "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on the house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against the house and it fell and great was the fall of it." So Jesus is on a mountain, on a hill. He's teaching and there's one group, there's one audience, but there ends up being two groups. One of the group, they ended up following Jesus. They wanted to say yes to Jesus. And so literally after this, they would start following this rabbi, the teacher, whereas other people still were pretty amazed at the whole thing, would not choose to follow. So we're going to talk about two different groups here today, and I would just say this, many of you in this room, you have chosen to follow Jesus, and you have done so with great sacrifice. It was not half-hearted, and for you today, I just want to remind you what you signed up for, remind you about this treasure and this foundation that we have, and then I'll also say on the other hand, if you are just inquiring about Jesus, or you're not quite for sure what it looks like to say yes to him, then I'll detail very easily what it looks like to say yes to him and then what not to say yes to them, because there were both people in the crowd on this day. So the very first one, those who would say yes to follow Jesus, they would do four things. Those who would say yes to follow Jesus would, number one is hear and accept his words. Hear and accept his words. Don't have time to do a language study right now, but many times in the Hebrew, when you hear the word hear, It's not just sound decibels going into your ear. When Samuel hears God speak, he says, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." It's not saying like, "Oh, I heard that," and he's going off into his thing. It means he's attentive, he's hearing, he's receiving that. So this very first one is hear and accepting. Maybe you're this person, or maybe you've talked to somebody like this. You're talking to them, but they're like texting something on their phone, and they're pretending to be multitasking, but you know, like, they're not there at all, right? They may be hearing you, but not accepting. For me, it goes back to even in childhood. I remember playing video games and hearing a little something from my mom saying, "Hey, Tim, I need you to clean the kitchen." I may have shook my head, but she was in the other room, so she wouldn't have seen that, right? So she said, "Hey, clean your room." And maybe I heard it one other time. Maybe there were several times I didn't hear, because by the time she came to my room, opened my door, and her voice lowered, and she said, "Timothy Aaron," I said, "Clean the kitchen. Did you hear me?" The right response would not be like, "Oh, Mama, I heard you," and keep on playing, right? Because she's not asking if, like, the sound decibels hit my ears. She's asking if I heard and received them. Jesus, over and over, when you follow his teachings, whether it be in the Gospels or in Revelation, over and over he says, "He who has ears, let him hear." Now, it's not that he was speaking with some who were hearing impaired and some who were not hearing impaired. He's speaking to an audience who everybody can hear him, but he says, "He who has ears, let him hear." It's because hearing is not just receiving sound waves, it's hearing and accepting. It's not just that the people who would follow Jesus, it's not just good and helpful, it's not just another TED Talk or a podcast, but his words are true, they are the truth. If you were to hear and accept these words, my question for you is, do you accept them as true? We live in a real information age. So I don't know if you find yourself like me, but I don't like just sitting all that much, and I drive a good bit. So I usually have my AirPods in, and I'm listening to a podcast or a book or to news, or I'm reading and I'm looking at articles, and I read like the whole spectrum of them. Sometimes I go even left of those who are liberal or even right of those who are conservative and everywhere in between. And what I usually do, because I consume enough information, as many of you guys do, I usually hear it in a little bit of a filter, and I put out the stuff that I don't agree with, right? So I can feel like I can learn from most people. But as you may say in your day, right, you eat the fish and you spit out the bones, right? Eat the fish and spit out the bones. And we get in a habit of getting so much information that we do that. Let me just say this to make sure, for those who follow Jesus, that's not how we take his teachings. We don't eat the fish and spit out the bones. We don't take the stuff that we like, and then we just skip over the stuff we don't. We take it because he's not just a teacher, not just another podcast. He's the Savior. He's Lord. And so we either accept his teachings or we don't. The people who on this day would follow Jesus, they would accept, everybody liked his teaching. They would accept his teaching, and they would hear it. For some of you in this room, you're critical thinkers, maybe even young millennials or Gen Z. In talking with you, many times some of you have said you like to wrestle with, disagree with, test, beat it around a little bit when you hear truth before you would claim it as your own. And I don't want you to accept anything without using your mind or thinking it through. But in order to follow Jesus, you're going to have to come to the point of saying this is the truth. Not a truth, not it's true or it's good, it's the truth, the way and the life. And so for some of us in here who are always wrestling with or just taking bits and pieces, listen, I'm asking you, and what the followers of Jesus would say yes to is accepting his truth. And some of those things I really like, and they comfort me, and they bring goodness to my soul, and some of them sometimes can even be offensive, but you take it all. Be the same as a family for some people who say, "I would love to have kids. I just don't like the temper tantrums or the terrible twos or the torrential like threes or the fearsome fours or the changing diapers or the teen years or when they're like all those things." You would take it out. You would be with your kid for like 1 hour a week. And that's not a family. That's babysitting. When you want a family, you get the whole package. When you accept and you hear and accept the words of Jesus, you get it all. I'm not selective about it. So those who would say yes to him on that day would hear and accept that his words were true. Not only would they hear and accept, they would, number two, they would hear and practice his teachings. So to believe Jesus' teaching is good, but to put your life and your full weight of your life on him, to basically practice his way and not your own, is a totally different ballgame. So listen, it's saying to hear the words of Jesus and believe them, yes, but believe them and practice them. Literally to follow him. Let me try to illustrate this. In this day, people, like I said, they would either follow or they wouldn't. So be able to hear teaching and not be like, that was really good, and to go on your way, to hear and accept and to practice that which we said would be what they did. So let me just show you this. Where I came from is North Fort Worth before we came to Fellowship 12 years ago. And there was a rule. We had a baptistry like up here. And basically, if somebody had already asked you to baptize them, then you were like, I was like the baptizer for that day. So whoever else signed up, I was the baptizer on this particular day. There was a girl somewhere under 10. I was going to baptize her. And so there was a guy by the name of Seth Brownlee. Seth Brownlee was a very, very large man. He was actually so large that when he announced to his Sunday school class, he goes, hey, next week I'm going to get baptized. Like, not being mean, they said, well, which two pastors are going to baptize you? And he said, Tim. And the applause ensued, just followed, right? And he said, they thought it was a joke, but he said, no, Tim. And so just mammoth of a man, like weighed a lot more than like a Mark Henry. I mean, like, I'm just like just a man of huge stature, right? I'm not saying he's fat, right, if he hears this teaching. I'm just saying he's a very large man, right? And so this guy who was well over double my weight, he and another guy who actually was even taller than him and bigger than him, so I had two ginormous people, and I weigh 150 pounds. So what happened is, on the day of baptism, I'm trying to be as manly as possible. I give Seth Brownlee a big man hug, try to lower my voice and be like, hey. And he said, you got me? And I said, I got you. And he trusted me. So I went in and we baptized the little girl. And then as Seth walked into the baptism water, there was just a rumbling and a murmuring amongst our congregation. I may have said something because it was really tense to just be able to say, I said, well, the Lord gave little David strength against the giant. People laughed, but people were still like wagering. If Tim's going to go down, is he coming back up? And so I took him with my good arm, and I took him, and I went down with him, right? Actually, my waders started filling up, but I brought him up, and the next guy, I got him up, maybe proved all the haters wrong. Here's what I would say. People in the audience, they could have been like, I don't know if he can or not. But two men, they put their trust and their full weight on me, and they said, I know you got me. So one thing to say to the teachings of Jesus, man, they sound really good. There's another to put our full weight into living them out, into practicing them. We have been going over the teachings of Jesus, and some of you have been obedient to them. You have put them into practice. One of them, when we were talking about reconciliation and even divorce, a gentleman at Fellowship in West Little Rock, he came up to Mark. He said, after hearing that sermon, I need to write a letter of apology to my ex-spouse. Another who heard about, when we talked about reconciliation and forgiveness, came up to me and said, I need to call a family meeting with my extended family, and I don't know exactly how it'll go, but I need to be obedient to it. Would you pray for me? Practicing those things. Enemy love. So many of these other things that Jesus says are not just words that were a good sermon. They put them into practice. This may seem really silly, but for me, one of the things that I had to wrestle with during this, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. My youngest son, he's built kind of like a linebacker, or no, like a running back. I mean, he's just like thick, and he has his V and his muscles, and he talks about football during football and after the season until the season starts. And so we'd sign him up for football this last fall. And before we got the schedule, we heard that the games, we heard that they're going to be at either 4:30 or 5. We just happened to have our church service at the same time. I don't know if my son's going to understand this. So we're reading with him one night, and I just said, hey, Silas, I said, I don't know how this is all going to go down, but I know I've heard the games may be at 5, which is when we go to church. We've already made a decision of what's going to be priority in our family, and so we may have to sit this season out. So that's the decision we have to make. Why don't we pray that the games won't be at that time? And I'm thinking to myself, you're thinking, hey, that's your job, Tim. I mean, come on, like, you're the pastor. But I'm thinking, like, I don't want my son to hate me because, like, he can't do his sport or the Lord or any of those other things. And just kind of going, oh, please work it out. So we prayed, and it was great news when I was able to say, hey, you know what? Our games are at 1:30 and at 3. Like, you can still play football, But it was this whole principle of just going, okay, if it says seek him first, are we going to be obedient to that and put our full weight and take whatever consequences? And that's a really small story. That's maybe not even a huge step of faith for you. I know that for some of you in this room, you're single. And you could have some companionship, you could have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, but you have chosen to put all of your weight on Jesus. You know that the people who are asking and pursuing are not who God has for you. And so as opposed to just going with somebody, you've chosen to step over here, away from companionship right now, because you're putting your full weight and your trust in the Lord. And I just want to say, don't grow weary in doing good. Some of you in this room, you're making hard choices. Put your full weight into the teachings of Jesus, because he's got you. For so many other things, as we look in that, I'm just saying, when for you, some of you, when was the last time you put your weight into the hands of our Savior? You put into practice his teachings. Giving your life to him, yes, but he's not stationary. He'll ask you all along the way to put your trust in him. Those people who would say yes to him would not only hear and accept, they would hear and practice his teachings. But number three, they would build their house or their life on the rock. Everybody say the rock. Okay, so if you've ever heard the song before, the wise man built his house upon the rock, and the rains came coming down, but it says, and the house on the rock stood firm. Do that with me. Say, and the house on the rock stood firm, right? And then the funnest part, if you were a child, right, was the foolish man built his house upon the sand, and it says, and the house on the sand went splat. Right? And that's when the teacher would lose everybody, because every boy would be like, splat, splat, splat. And so I remember growing up hearing that, and the pictures that we saw is that one of these was like built on a house, like by a mountain, and the other one was, I think, was built like right by the water. So if you're thinking like sandcastle, you know, a sandcastle like the next day is gone because the tide comes in. So I'm thinking like, well, that's stupid. Who would build a house right there? But like, that's what you're thinking of, but that's not at all what people were doing in this day. You see, around the Sea of Galilee, it can be desert, it's arid, so that it's very, very dry. I got to go and walk there, but like there's places that if you were to stand, it's hard. It is hard, hard, dried dirt, right? So you could stand on it, and it would be more firm than this stage right here. So it's not like they're going by the ocean, right, and they're building this. It looks almost exactly the same. But anybody who was not foolish would spend the hard work of getting all of that hard dirt that could almost appear as a rock until they get down to the very, very, very bedrock. And the only difference, much like this house that we saw before, between two houses, if you couldn't see their foundation, they would look exactly the same. And really, until a storm came, you wouldn't be able to tell any difference. It's not like the walls would wave. It's only when the storm came, because if you're on dirt and torrential rains came, it would sweep your house away. So here's what he is saying, or let me just ask this. Storms are going to come. Some of you guys are in a storm, so let me just tell you a couple of differences between being on the rock and being on sand. The great thing about if you put your house on the rock is a rock was not formed yesterday, and it's not going away tomorrow, right? But sand does. Rock, it's stability, and it's an anchor for this life and the life to come. So listen, rock, because it isn't something we made up. It was established and accomplished way before us, and it will be here long after us, this rock called Jesus. So we are not holding a rock up. It's holding us up. And so it is keeping us secure. So when the storms come, if what you believe, you're having to hang on to that, when the storm comes, you're done. You need something who's holding on to you. What it's just saying is these storms that come, right, when you are on the rock, then it is your anchor. You have confidence in its strength and not your own. That's what it looks like to have a firm foundation. There's a great hymn. It's called Firm Foundation. I'll just read it. It's just, here's the chorus for some of you who may know this. But how firm our foundation, how sure our salvation, and we will not be shaken, Jesus' firm foundation. Just one of the lines, the soul that is trusting in Jesus as Lord will press on enduring the darkest of storm. And though even hell should endeavor to shake, he'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. How firm our foundation, how sure our salvation, and we will not be shaken, Jesus, our firm foundation. Well, the person who would build their house on the rock, they would hear and accept, hear and practice, build their house on the rock. And then the last thing is this may be a little surprising. those who would walk with Jesus, they would walk in his authority. Walk in his authority. Just read the end of this. It says, when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished, for he was teaching them as one who had authority. Like he was not just giving good ideas, he was giving the truth, because not only did he speak the truth, he was the truth. There's something that happens as well. Just let me say this, this authority, this isn't like authoritarian, like beat down and demeaning. It just walking in his authority. Did you know that that authority that he has, he sends us out with that? So at the Great Commission, he says, all authority in heaven and earth I've been given, and now I send you out and I'm with you. The same way when he tells us to wait on the Holy Spirit, right? You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. So what I want you to know is this power that Jesus walked in, the more you walk with him, the more you hear and accept and put your life on the rock, the more you walk in the same authority. And if that's not you yet, listen, the disciples didn't start that way either. They were ups and downs. They even went off. One of them denied them. They all left when Jesus was arrested. But that wasn't how it stayed. You see a boldness the longer they walked with Jesus and walked in his word. Actually, Andrew, one of the ones who was not there at the cross, he had fled. It tells about the end of his life. He's on a cross for several days, and his passerbyers on this main road are going by him. He's saying, Jesus is worth dying for, and Jesus is worth living for. You want to talk about boldness? Jesus is worth dying for, and he's worth living for. And they went from maybe being timid to fleeing to walking in his authority. The verse, James, if you can pull this one up, it's John 8, 31 and 32. Listen, it's not just accepting these words, it's walking in his authority. John 8, 31 and 32, it says, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you, what? Free. So not just knowing facts, when they begin to walk in that and plant their life on the rock, not only did they know the truth, not only did they live in it, it set them free, it liberated them, it changed them. We begin to walk in this authority. So I would just ask, if anything for us today to challenge you, if you question everything right now, maybe it's time to start putting that to rest or making some conclusions and deciding who you would follow. In 2 weeks, we have a baptism. We'll have baptisms here. It's a way to declare the way, the truth, and the life. My faith is in Jesus. If you want to get baptized, then please let us know. Maybe it's time. Maybe it's time for some of us just to start up, and if it's even as small as praying over your meal, it's leaving your home, it's telling your coworkers that you're a believer, if it's inviting somebody or even making a stand. One of the guys who may get baptized, he's just like, he said he's been waffling for so long and being like this crowd when he's with them and with this crowd with them. He's like, I'm just ready to plant on the rock and tell everybody I belong to Jesus. So I would just say for some of you in this room, as we progressively walk with Jesus and you say yes to Jesus, you start to walk more and more in his authority. That's not demeaning or authoritative. It's just you walk in the fullness of who he is, which is so good. It's one of the signs when we are following him. So those are the four things of those who said yes. What about the people who did not say yes to Jesus? There's just three things. Those who would not say yes to Jesus would. They would hear but not accept the truth. Nobody called him a liar. Just know that. Nobody, boo! There's none of that. Actually, it says the people were astonished. But some of them, whether or not they just thought it was truth and not the truth, whether it was they maybe ate the fish and spit out the bones and just took what they liked of it, but they would hear and not accept the truth. And secondly, they would hear but not put it into practice. Maybe it is because they wanted to do whatever they wanted, but maybe they just didn't put their full weight into the words of Jesus and their life into him. I mean, could you go to church and be like, man, I really think that guy's saying what he's true and just not put your life there? Yeah. Actually, a majority of the people in this day did that. They acknowledged it. At their soul level, they felt like, man, that's true. And they went on their way. So they heard just like anybody else, but they didn't accept the truth. They would hear and not put it into practice. And thirdly, they would build their life on what appeared logical and functional. Listen, it wasn't like right by the beach. It was sand. It looked so logical. It looked so logical to just piecemeal this theology to just do what I think is right. I mean, I'm not that bad. I think I can work my way there. And Jesus is saying, he who would build his house upon the sand, how great the fall of it. Let me ask you a question for just a moment. Some of you have studied your history. Some of you could be real authority in United Kingdom history or politics, maybe because that was your undergraduate degree, or maybe just because you watched The Crown. But you know all about things happening over in England. But let me just brief you in case you don't know. There's several bigwigs over there, several ladies, three of them in particular, but Kate Middleton, Meghan Markle, they're kind of a big deal. If you don't know who they are, do a little research, right? But tens of millions of followers, beautiful, right? When they wear something, like, you'll just, like, notice the trends, like, everybody else is wearing it, especially when it's, like, not, like, uber expensive, right? And so they have all sorts of influence and people awe, and they have this, I don't know, like, this influence that people want to be like them. But their power and ability to pass laws? None. Did you know even the Queen of England, now you could debate this, but as the head of the state, she has a symbolic role in government, but the ability to make and pass legislation belongs to the parliament. So, high position, highly esteemed, yet little power. And you know what? That's what Jesus is to a lot of people, to the crowd here. Highly esteemed, highly influential, but of little lasting power in their life. Yet he calls out to us and he says, if you would abide in my word, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. And when the storms of life come, you'll have a firm foundation. So, I was clapping at my own sermon. I'm just kidding. But did you know when Jesus got done, the last 3 months, we've been the Sermon on the Mount. When they got done, right, when he got done, though few would follow him, what happened? Man, they were astonished. Wow, not like the other teachers. Man, he taught with some authority. He brought it. Wow. They were enamored. And some of them decided to follow in Jesus and to put their full weight into him. So let me just say this to you, to the folks in the room. If you were a follower, I just want to remind you what you said yes to, right? You said yes to hearing and accepting, not having to decide if it's true and accepting it and eating the fish and spitting out the bones, just accepting it as true, then you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. And then from there, you go on to hearing and practicing and putting your full weight into it and practicing the way of Jesus, which leads to even in the storms, you're on the foundation. Not to add on this, this isn't an extra, this is a foundation, it's the anchor. And then saying yes to live in his authority. That's what you say yes to. And so I would ask you one question. Is there anything there, Christ follower, that's lacking or neglected? But like if we were to take a snapshot of your spiritual life right now, is there anything there that is lacking? Because if it is, can I just challenge you as followers of Jesus to go and tell your community? Like most of us in this room, we have some type of spiritual community, a D group, a small group, Bible study group. You're connected with them. If it's tonight, if it's this week, if it's right when you get back from Thanksgiving, just say, hey, look, I'm struggling in these areas and I want to walk in the full authority. I want to walk and I want to hear and I want to accept and I want to renew the things that I've gone astray in. And you would continue to walk in wholehearted devotion to the Lord. So would you please have that part of community. But I guess my next question is, if you find yourself here and you're without a spiritual community, you don't have a group. Maybe you're new here. Maybe you're new to the city. Maybe you just don't know a whole lot of folks. Maybe this is all new to you and you're kind of going to a community. Like what? What would it look like if you wanted to even simply ask questions about who Jesus is? Or maybe before this you kind of thought, I mean, because everybody is in childhood kind of believes in God and Jesus. And you were like, I think that I was believed in Jesus, but like there's no fruit in my life and I just want to ask questions. Maybe you're confused. Maybe you're ready to step into some things, whether it be baptism or giving your life to the Lord. How do you do that if you don't know anybody else in this room or nobody else who really is spiritual? At your bulletin, if you were handed one of those things, let me give you a couple opportunities. Well, one of those is you can go to the Connection Center right after service. So we'd love for you to do that. We'll get you connected. But secondly, you have on the bottom of your bulletin, you have a place to put your name. And on the back it says prayer request, which if you want to give us some prayer requests, our prayer team will pray for you. That's awesome. more than that, I would love if you just need to like write down, I need to talk to somebody, I need to get baptized, I have questions. If you'll put your name and your number and email and you put that in there, we're going to wait just a couple minutes to take the offering. When people are putting in their offering, you can just put that in the bucket and we'll get you connected. As the band comes on up here, I want to give you guys some time to reflect on this. And listen, church, we're talking about building a house, okay? And what we're talking about here is not like you got the wrong paint color. It's not saying like, we got the wrong hardware in the master bathroom. We're talking about the foundation, which everything in the house and your life will hinge on this foundation. Do you see that? Everything in this life and the life that is to come. So even if it's hard to write something down or to stop by a connection center or to make the changes you need to make the changes in, listen, this is we're not playing. And Jesus didn't call out or demean anybody on this day. He just said, here's what it looks like for the wise man, and this is what it looks like to be foolish and not to hear truth and put it into practice. And so I would just invite you, like Jesus, what would it look like for you to respond to Jesus today, whether you're a Christ follower or whether you are on your journey to becoming one? So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray for us. The band's going to start playing. We've been in this series for 3 months. Whether or not you turn your tab in, because this may just be a good journaling time for you, I just want to give you 2 or 3 minutes to just reflect. What's the Lord saying to you? To hear another good sermon or an okay sermon and leave and go eat. That's what a lot of people did with the greatest sermon from the greatest communicator, from God himself. And they went on and it made no difference in their life. Would you just pause for maybe 3 or 4 minutes, a couple minutes? What would the Lord be saying to you today? And if you need to write down some things and respond, do that. A couple more minutes, we'll have the offering. King Jesus, in these next just couple minutes, would you, if there's some things that you want to say to us, would you speak? Would you speak? Because we're hearing, we're listening. We want to hear from you. God, whatever you want to say, and I just pray, Father, that the things that you said to people today, that whatever it is, that we would put it into practice. Would you give us faith to believe and accept your words? Would you be the rock for some of us in this room who are going through storms worse than we could have ever imagined? And would you let us walk in your authority? So, Lord Jesus, have your way in us. You're God, we're not. Change us. Give us the courage to be obedient to building our house on the rock. And it's in Jesus' name we pray.